And this search for life elsewhere in the galaxy is actually what led one team to make an amazing discovery.
So is my voice going to be in? It's a radio broadcast.
Yes.
Yeah, my voice is going to be there.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is Dominic Papineau. He's at the London Centre for Nanotechnology at the University College London. And his team announced this year they've found the oldest fossil evidence of life on Earth, clocking in at over 3.7 billion years. Dominic's interest actually lies in searching for life elsewhere in the galaxy, but for now, that hunt has taken him deep into the Earth's past.
I'm going about it the only way that technologically we currently can, although we do have rovers that are somewhat capable on Mars, to directly search for signs of life, and there's also the SETI program, but that's not my... My approach is mostly looking at the very distant past on the early Earth and trying to identify signs of life and understand the kind of environmental conditions where these microbial communities were living, because we're obviously talking about microorganisms at that time. There were no trees, fungus, or other animals. All this macroscopic life that we see today wasn't there back in most of the Archean, probably.
So you're searching for something very, very small. How do you even start?
You need to target, I think, the right rocks. You kind of narrow it down to some of the oldest rock sequences out there. And this rock sequence that I've been at in 2008 in northern Quebec, the Nouveau-Aguetuc supercrustal belt, is known to be at least Eoarchean in age since 2004. So the Eoarchean is this first time period that the sedimentary rock record appears.
Okay, so was it a case of, hey, these rocks are really, really old, let's have a look in them, and then you're just hoping you might find something?
So not quite. The Nouveau-Aguetuc supercrustal belt is about 3 kilometers in length, and the banded iron formation unit that is kind of smack in the middle of this belt has been known for more than a decade now. And I was studying banded iron formation, so I was interested in these particular BIFs as well, because they're very ancient. They were as old as those I was looking for from Issua and the island of Aquileia in Greenland. And that was going to be another example of Eoarchean banded iron formation. So I went there in the hope of finding similar things as what people had found, and I myself had found. And I found even better. I found the red banded iron formations with concretions. So, eureka.
So it's a combination of the fact that they were very old and the type of rock that made them of interest to you.
Yes, exactly.
When you found something, what did you find? What did it look like?
So I was there specifically for the banded iron formation. So I walked along strike back and forth. And it was striking to me that at one particular site, very localized, there were outcrops of this red banded iron formation. And when I was walking on it, I was carefully looking at the rock, and I could see these rounded spherical structures, which I had seen in the Hammersley before. And so I knew that these concretions had something to say, so I sampled them, and that's exactly where we found the microfossils.
And you've got some of your selection of these rocks in your cabinet, in your office. They're very pretty, but I would never expect they contained any kind of life.
Right. So if you go to the Museum of Natural History, for instance, you can see that very often the marine animal fossils are preserved in these kind of rounded bits of rock. They're called concretions. They're called limestone concretions. They have various names, actually. And the reality is that in geology, we don't really have a good explanation for how they formed these particular structures. But we know that in the young geological record, that they're associated frequently with animal fossils.
Can we go and have a look at your fossils then?
Sure. This is what we see.
Oh, wow.
That's what you say. Oh, wow. That's your first one. Okay.
So this is a slice of the rock from your office, a very thin slice,
yeah,
under a microscope.
But it's a little thicker than the usual ones. So we're experimenting with different techniques now. But so this is what these things
oh,
look
wow.
like.
It's like I'd have a photo of this in my house. It's a bit like Jackson Pollock or something. It's a sort of white background and then little flecks of red and black.
And there's a twisting, like a spiral.
Yeah, like that's like a corkscrew.
Yeah.
In the slide, amongst the flecks of red, you can clearly see a black spiraling tendril. Dominic suggests this could have been made by a microscopic creature, maybe similar to modern-day bacteria. But could these shapes simply be caused by geological processes?
So far, we've had one substantial criticism, and that is that there are these so-called chemical gardens that can grow tubular structures, and other such non-biological experiments have been successful at growing these filaments that are sometimes twisted. So they have morphologies that look like they could potentially be analogs to the features that we observed. But if we just consider this kind of comparison based on the morphology, this is one of the main reasons why there's been so much controversy in the past. It's because there's very little lines of evidence. But if you consider the bulk of our lines of evidence, we have 12 independent lines of evidence. So I think this is bulletproof.
The 12 lines of evidence are the various shapes and chemicals found in the rock. The patterns, the radioactive isotopes, they've all been associated with life. Some on their own can appear without the presence of life, but altogether, Dominic is confident he has the oldest evidence of life on Earth, which is pretty exciting.
I mean, I celebrated with my wife. But, you know, when my student, Matt Dodd, took these images and did the due diligence and he cataloged the images and mapped everything that he was looking at as I instructed him, he brought to me these very compelling images. And at some point, he brought me this fossil with the twisted stalks. And these were very compelling. In my opinion, so I was, this was yay. We have the oldest fossils. I mean, it's exciting, but ultimately, it's what it implies with respect to the rapidity that life arises on the planetary surface, the conditions in which it arises. It has implications for evolutionary biology because many of these microfossils that we find are similar to microfossils that are to microorganisms that are living today in these kinds of environments. So there's a continuity in biology that tells us that some organisms haven't changed much over all this time. So it has implications for the origin of life. It has implications for exobiology. I think it's an important discovery, but it's one that's going to be followed by many more to come.
Dominic Papineau here on The Naked Scientists.